Welcome to the Monday edition of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. This is Blog Week. Now you may say, what is Blog Week? Well, as you probably know by now, Grace Evangelical Society has a website. You can get to it at faithalone.org. Now, as part of the site, we have blog posts. On this first installment of Blog Week, we're going to look at a blog that appeared on faithalone.org on February 13th, 2019. It's created quite the buzz. The title of this blog post is Replacing Everlasting Life with a Relationship with Jesus. Bob and Sean pick it up in the Grace in Focus studios. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean.
Hi, my name is Bob.
And we'd like to take a week or so to just reflect upon different topics that come up in our blog. We blog every day. We want to invite you to sign up for that blog. We just give a very short biblical or theological meditation for the day. This isn't necessarily fluffy stuff here. This is, if you're a serious Bible student, you're definitely going to want to sign up for our blog at faithalone.org. You will be blessed by it, and you will be challenged by it. I've had a lot of people say, I love your blog because no one is talking about the subjects that you guys are talking about. Everyone's just talking about how to get rich by Jesus and how to be involved in all these other peripheral issues, but you guys are talking about the Bible. That is definitely our focus here. And for example, Bob, you recently wrote a blog about this language of everyone loves talking about having a relationship with Jesus when they evangelize. That seems to be a change in the way people conceive of the message you should give in evangelism.
When you look at the way Jesus himself evangelized, he never said, he who believes in me has a relationship with me.
Right.
He didn't say, he who believes in me is part of my family.
Yeah.
He who believes in me has had an encounter with me. No, he says, he who believes in me shall not perish, but has everlasting life. John 3:16, John 5:24, John 6:47, et cetera, et cetera. The Lord repeatedly talked about everlasting life. The problem is we're dead and we need life. Now, it is true, of course, that when we get everlasting life, we become a child of God.
Right.
John 1, 12, and 13 says that.
Right.
And it is true that that gives us a relationship with God.
Right.
But even the unbeliever has a relationship with God. I mean, every unbeliever is going to appear at the great white throne judgment, and they're going to give an account to Jesus for the fact they never believed and they're not in the book of life, and for the life they lived. So the real issue is life and death. When we get off into this relationship language, it sounds good because everybody would like, man, wouldn't it have been great if I had a really loving relationship with my parents? Of course,
right.
Some people did, but if you didn't, then you're like, but I can have that with God. Well, that's good, but that's not what's promised when you believe in Jesus. You're not promised a close relationship with him. What you're promised is everlasting life.
You are promised a relationship, and the verses you just cited.
It is a relationship, but how close it is depends on whether you're in fellowship with him.
And so the question here is, why is that language popular? Why has that come to the forefront of doing evangelism?
Here's why I think it is. I got a phone call from a friend several years ago, and he lives in the part of the country where the majority of the people are Lutheran.
Mm-hmm.
Lutherans tend to believe that once you're saved, you're always saved unless you stop partaking of communion.
Mm-hmm.
If you stop partaking of the Lord's Supper, you're no longer coming to church, you're no longer on the ship. And so it's not so much that God's taken it away, you've just gotten off the platform that's going to heaven. This friend of mine called and he said, you know what I found? I like to talk to Lutherans about the fact that Jesus died for them and rose again. And if they believe in him, then they're saved. And I don't say anything about being saved forever. I don't say anything about being secure forever, about once saved, always saved. Because once I get there, I find I've got some controversy. Because they're going to say, well, yes, that's true, except if a person were to fall away.
Right. If they stop believing, then obviously that ship departs without them or something.
Right. And so he said, I like to lead them to Christ first and then tell them about the promise of everlasting life. And I said, I really don't think you can do that because until they believe the promise, that he who believes in me has everlasting life, John 6:47, well, they haven't yet believed in Jesus in the biblical sense. So it's not enough to believe that if I believe in him, I have a relationship with him, because if I think that relationship can be lost, well, I've not yet believed in the right type of relationship.
To me, the relationship is just so fuzzy. It doesn't really communicate the condition of salvation or really what you get as a result of meeting the condition of salvation. And I wonder if it's popular because it is so fuzzy. You know, who can say no to a relationship with Jesus?
That's a good point. Let me read you, I have a doctrinal statement. A friend was taking seminary classes from a professor who also happens to be a pastor. And so when you go to the website of the pastor, here's the doctrinal statement. And his professor didn't seem particularly friendly to the faith alone position. So when we looked up the doctrinal statement, here's what it says. Under the heading, "How do I begin a relationship with Jesus and receive this new life?" the answer is, according to the Apostle Paul, it's by grace through faith, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9.
That's good.
Yeah, it's good. But then it says, grace can be defined as getting what you don't deserve. That is a gift. We do not deserve the gift of forgiveness. Now, notice we're talking about forgiveness here. Provided by Christ's death in our place, or the gift of righteousness, right standing with God, provided by Christ's sinless life. By confessing your sinfulness to God, okay, now we're now something slightly more than faith. We're confessing our sinfulness
right
to God, which hopefully this statement means we're just acknowledging we're a sinner, not that we're trying to confess every sin we ever committed.
Right, and we should, by the way, confess our sins, 1 John 1, 7 and 9, but not necessarily for having everlasting life, which is what this heading is all about,
right?
Right,
okay. Right. That's really for believers to be in fellowship with him. But in any regard, I get it. You're acknowledging that you're a sinner and therefore you need salvation, right? So, okay, by confessing your sinfulness to God, placing your trust in Jesus and what his life, death, and resurrection made possible for you, you can begin a personal relationship with him. Well, that very language, beginning a personal relationship with him, sounds like it's losable, doesn't it?
You begin, and okay.
He doesn't say you have an eternal relationship
right
with him.
Right.
It says you begin a personal relationship with him. We believe that when we begin that relationship, the Spirit of God enters our being. We call it the Holy Spirit. I'm not real happy referring to the Holy Spirit as it, but okay. And that Spirit not only becomes our guide, but it continues the process that began at our point of surrender.
Right. Now he's talking about surrender.
Surrender. Where's that come up?
Yeah. So it starts off, it's by grace through faith. That's the beginning of it. And then at the end, it's at our point of surrender. And so that's different from faith, it seems like.
And notice it's a process.
Right.
That began at the point of surrender, moving us from a life of sin to a life where we resemble the person of Jesus. Well, it sounds to me like they're saying, if your life isn't Christ-like, then you're not going to make it.
Yeah, they're either suddenly introducing sanctification into how to get justified, which is extremely confusing. That's a dangerous error to make. Or, yeah, they're saying what you're saying. It's just this process that you need to be good enough in order to reach it.
But basically what they're describing is what you're talking about here, sanctification.
Mm-hmm.
We begin a process where we become or should become more and more like Christ. That's sanctification. That's not justification.
Right.
Justification isn't a process. Regeneration is not a process. At the very moment of faith, Jesus says we've passed from death into life,
mm-hmm.
John 5:24.
Mm-hmm.
It's a done deal at the very moment of faith, but you don't get it out of doctrinal statements like this that are emphasizing the relationship aspect. And you see, this would be fine if we were talking about the Christian life and living the Christian life, growing in our faith. But this is all under how do I even begin a relationship with Jesus and how do I receive this new life? It sounds like this life is some kind of a way to live. It's not Jesus' life given to me, right?
Yeah, I like that. So what we receive biblically at the point of faith is basically God's own life. We get everlasting life, you know, partakers of the divine nature at the point of faith.
Well, like John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Uh-huh.
No one comes to the Father but by me. Or John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. He gives life to all who believe in him. And if we don't call that life everlasting life, mm-hmm. we confuse people. Dr. Ryrie, who recently went to be with the Lord, he was one of my seminary professors, and he preached my ordination and was there for my ordination exam. And Dr. Ryrie liked to say, if everlasting life could be lost, it's got the wrong name. That's why I like to talk about everlasting life, because it conveys what Jesus gives.
So the subtle problem here is that someone can hear, someone who's an unbeliever, and they probably don't know up from down in terms of the Bible, and they're hearing Jesus gives them a new life, and they might think, he gives me a new way of life, a new way of living that I need to live up to in order to be saved.
So right.
You need to be clear. Okay, no, he's not. There is a new way of life as a Christian, but no, what Jesus gives you at a point of faith is not a new way of life, but his own life, himself, his eternal life.
Exactly.
You know, and we need to make that clear.
There are actually people, many, as you know, Sean, who will actually say, in order to have what they would call final salvation or everlasting life in the end, you have to persevere in good works. And so they will say, you have to embrace the life of Christ in order to make it into the kingdom. You know, that's pretty much straight up work salvation. But the point is, no matter how you say it, when you're talking about relationship, you're really talking more in the area of sanctification. When you talk about everlasting life, you're talking more in the area of justification or regeneration. So here's my challenge to you. When you talk to your children, family members, your friends, your loved ones, people at work, people at school, and you're talking to them about Christ, tell them the simple message that Jesus promises that if they simply believe in him, they have everlasting life and they'll never perish. And what you'll find is people are fascinated by this. And you'll say, look, do you know for sure that you're going to spend eternity with the Lord? If you don't, believe the promise of John 3:16, that whoever believes in him should not perish but has everlasting life. It's really that simple. And if we share that message, then we give people the promise of life found in the teachings of Jesus and the apostles. And then they can chew on that and meditate on that and come to believe it and be born again.
Thanks to Sean and Bob for that great discussion on this much-needed subject. Now, if you'd like to go and read Bob's post on the blog, you can do that by going to faithalone.org. The best way to search it is by the title. The title of this article is Replacing Everlasting Life with a Relationship with Jesus. It appeared on February 13th, 2019, and since then it's received quite a few comments. You might even like to comment yourself. Though it's true that we do have a very active blog, we also have lots of other resources available on the website for you. A free print magazine, videos, podcasts, many other posts are available for free. If you'd like to reach out to us, we'd encourage you to do that. You can do so by email, radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, I'm really excited about our continuation of Blog Week. Tomorrow, we'll look at another popular blog from faithalone.org, so you're going to want to tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until tomorrow, let's keep grace in focus.